I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum in a week that started out with the news of yet another ice killing in Minneapolis, unexpected flooding around the country, and a renewed focus on scrambler regulation. Joining us to look back at it all, Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, Minister of State for International Development and the Diaspora, Conor Sheehan, Labour TD for Limerick City and their spokesperson on housing and local government and heritage, and Sinead O'Carroll, the editor of The Journal. Thank you very much, one and all, for joining us. We'll start off with scramblers and what to do about them. Neil, it's a tricky problem because trying to stop a scrambler in its tracks is in itself a hazardous operation.
Yeah, a hazardous and dangerous operation, which on Garda Síochána need to be fully resourced for. You know, from the legislative point of view, scramblers on a public road are already illegal. Most of the legislation was updated in 2023. There's one aspect that does need to be fully enforced now, and I think it was Connor's party leader, Ivana Bacic, made that point very clearly this week, and totally accurate, and there's no issue with it there. But the GRA would say, yes, legislation's fine, enforcement is key. There is areas in relation to drone activity, because it is, the problem with scramblers is more so an urban problem, and it's not just Dublin, it's Limerick, it's Cork, it's Galway, because they are used, obviously, for agricultural uses legally around the country, and there is ways that you can have one legally on the road, but this all came about.
But the legislation is about no public place, which includes public parks and the ordinary roads. People on farms using them to round up sheep or whatever, that is not on the public road, it's on private property.
And that there's no issue with that, I'm not trying to conflate the two. They're already illegal on the public road. We've seen massive amount of seizures over the last 3 years. The issue is on public areas, parklands, beaches as well. And looks, let's just bring it back why we're talking about this is after a very tragic death at the start of the week in Finglas. And I think the very clear case made by poor Grace's mother at the start of the week was a real clear demand to finalise work that has been done on this in an urgent basis. And I think we have to check ourselves as politicians to say that's where it starts from. That's why we're talking about it.
And I'm going to read a text in a few moments from a serving guard on this very topic. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think the enforcement part, so the regulation part is obviously one part, the enforcement part is the next part, but there is another layer to build in. Like, there's a reason that mostly younger males are using these, and the energy and the reason they're using it also needs to be addressed. So it needs to be kind of a more holistic. I'm always reminded that in other jurisdictions, the sports minister works really hand in hand with the education minister. So there is energy and enthusiasm for this kind of, I guess, extracurricular activity. And where do you put that energy and where do you put that wish for these mostly young men to be on these things? So that also needs to be dealt with, because otherwise what you have is enforcement, and then you have criminality of young people, which doesn't really help anybody. And you also have, like, most teachers you talk to, I talked to a teacher during the week where she said the scramblers were still out this week despite the huge tragedy, and the danger of them was still incredibly evident. And she said even when the guards take them off, they get new ones. So the enforcement is not a one and done.
And seemingly you can buy one of these things on Alibaba, assemble it yourself and off you go.
Exactly.
It's invisible to any authority. Connor.
I suppose, Pat, the first thing I would say is that the tragic death of Grace Lynch is shocking, but it's not surprising. And it's not surprising because communities and working class communities in particular have been crying out in relation to the illegal use of scramblers for years. We know that when the Gardaí are given the resources that they can tackle this. And the example that I have from this is in my own city of Limerick. We had a really significant scrambler issue. And in fairness to the guards, they got the resources and they tackled it very effectively.
What did they do?
They basically they had a targeted operation at scrambler use. They were able to go in and take the scramblers from people's homes. They were able to get a very large number of scramblers seized. And what that actually did was, they ended up at one stage with more than 50 scramblers seized, which basically more or less got on top of the issue for a while. And we need to see targeted Garda operations looking at this. I think what we've been calling for, what Marie Sherlock was calling for this week, is while we wait on, say, updating the legislation and closing the gaps that are there, that we should have an immediate freeze on scrambler use for the time being, given how dangerous these high-powered, high-speed machines are, because they're not toys. And I mean, you go around to communities all around the country, you hear it at Christmas time, people are getting these things sometimes for children for Christmas, and they really need to stop. Okay. Because
I want
so
to read
dangerous.
Read out this from a serving guard. In relation to scramblers, I'm speaking as a current serving guard. What we'll see now is a couple together special operation that will focus on some low hanging fruit in gathering together the easier to target and confiscate scrambler bikes. This will only be done because we've taken resources from somewhere else in order to do so under political pressure. And it'll be done under intense media spotlight as well, to give the impression that something has been done. But in fact, it will be temporary and largely ineffective stopgap until the news cycle moves on. Much crime occurs around scrambler bikes, including the drugs trade. Many people have been hurt, and now somebody has died. Nobody wants to grasp the nettle on this issue, because the only way to effectively deal with scrambler bikes is to do it the way the Metropolitan Police dealt with moped crime epidemic a few years back. In 1 year, it reduced the amount of moped-related crime by over 90%. Now, this was done by getting police to knock people off scrambler bikes before they have the opportunity to get into a chase or cause injury. In practice, it means police, often in unmarked cars, taking the opportunity to seek out these bikes and cleave them off as soon as they can before a chase has taken place. But the only way this works is that the police are relatively assured that there is no comeback upon them should something happen to the person who's knocked off the bike. In other words, if they're seriously injured or die, the policeman is not going to be prosecuted. No Garda under the current climate is going to operate such a system. Nobody's going to do this, because only a fool would, and the Garda themselves will end up in the dock. Sinead.
Yeah, I've actually heard this from other Garda sources this week as well about the Metropolitan Police operation. I think there's a dangerous conflation of issues there, that if crime is happening on these scramblers or souped up e-bikes or scooters or whatever is being used, that they are crime operations, and something like that might be seen as being a reasonable use of force to stop crime that isn't the use of a scrambler in a public place, because the use of a scrambler in a public place can often be not for crime and just for excitement purposes or sporting or extracurricular purposes by a young teenager or a young adult. So in that case, like, a Garda could end up seriously injuring or killing 16-year-old, a 17-year-old boy who is, you know, trying to get a thrill out of a bike, which is not the same. So I find that would be incredibly hard for the Gardaí to enforce something like that, when we aren't at that level, I think, that the Metropolitan Police were at in terms of the crime epidemic on mopeds.
I think it's not a direct comparison. And I think when it comes to any issue, and it could be scramblers, it could be anything, when you try to think that there's one thing that needs to be done, you're usually wrong. It's a multifaceted thing. And say in New Zealand, they had huge success with season crushing of off-road bikes, as they call them, because it was quads as well. In Scotland, there was a knife pandemic, but they didn't treat that as necessarily just a criminal thing. It became a public health thing. They involved the education minister,
exactly. The
health minister, very similar to what would have been done in Limerick back when the original regeneration was put in. I think when it comes to this particular exercise, you do need to be able to differentiate. The moped issue in London was directly linked to criminal gangs who were using mopeds deliberately for muling and indeed to facilitate crime. There's a conflation there that this is the exact same. It's not necessarily, it's inappropriate and illegal
now,
use.
The minister has confirmed that a Garda unit has been trained up in drone technology to follow, instead of giving chase on the streets with a motorbike, a Garda motorbike, follow the motorbike to its destination and then you nab them.
Yeah, and that's not to minimise, like, I don't mean to minimise, like, the use of the scramblers in public places as something that's not incredibly dangerous or shouldn't be treated incredibly seriously by the guards. But you do have to remember that the people on them as well are also young people. And I think just having that whole system, like what you said, like in knife crime in the UK, when they do deal with it, get the knives off the kids and young men, but also then put them somewhere else, like give them something else to do.
I suppose the main part that I would agree with in relation to the message that was sent in, is that this does not need to be treated like a sporadic operation. This is an ongoing issue. It needs an ongoing standing response from an Garda Síochána. But I do think, look, we police by consent in this country. I don't think sending the Gardaí around aggressively knocking people off bikes, potentially injuring, potentially killing them, is going to work. I think in the first instance, it could result in a tragedy, or at the very least, it'll result in...
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. Tonight's top worry: if something happens to your apartment and you need to, like, stay in a hotel and pay for it, that would be crazy, right? Art Palpitations has more.
That would be crazy, Tammy, but you got surprisingly affordable renter's insurance through Geico, so it could be covered, giving you peace of mind.
Aww, I love a story that ends well.
Next up, love stories. Are they all they're cracked up to be?
It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.
Well, you know, the inverse of
the broken window syndrome, the idea that you get vandals in a local park and they take the saplings, they destroy them, they knock them down or whatever. And the philosophy is the local authority should replant the saplings, or if a playground is damaged, replace the playground. The inverse might work here, where you take a scrambler, you seize it, they get another scrambler, seize that one.
Yeah,
and then
just,
they get another scrambler, seize that one.
And eventually, wear it out. Like, that's why it does need to be consistent.
And they need to be seized. And when they're seized, they need to be destroyed, in my view. And people
not go into, like, some grey market.
At the moment, a lot of parks are no-go areas for people who aren't on scramblers and for kids who can't access playgrounds. They need to turn that around. They need to turn it on its head and make it a no-go area for scramblers. And so eventually, that use is, I can't go there because my scrambler
The problem with
the
scrambler,
seized.
Though, you can put bollards up and all that, a scrambler can get into the public parks quite easily.
But it needs a critical mass as well from communities to come out and say, do you know what, we're taking a stand against this, we're not tolerating this, we don't want this in our community, get these off our greens and get them away from our children.
I want to move on to flooding this week, and Neil, I suppose the government is not covering itself in glory in terms of this, because it's not as if it's a surprise that we get flooding in Enniscorthy, for example, but it is a surprise when we get flooding at Kilmechanic, maybe, that stops the traffic for 5 hours from Wexford. So what's going on? What's going wrong?
Well, there's a few things must be said, first and foremost. In my constituency, got hit pretty badly, and there's people currently who maybe listen to this who are drying out their living room or trying to pick up pieces together. Sure. So there's a very real human aspect.
And a business importing Japanese cars destroyed.
Yeah, I know that business well, and I've already been in touch with them in relation to the supports the government can get. So that's something that's right. This government were able to get the supports needed for businesses and individuals instantaneously, so they don't need to worry about the pickup cost. Ultimately, flood mitigation has been something that has been a constant throughout my time in the Oireachtas. And since 2018, 56 schemes have been done. We still need 100 more schemes to be done. That's the thing. We're in the process of getting as much flood mitigation schemes as possible. Places like Enniscorthy, you're dead right, that's one of the 100 that hasn't been done or is in the process of being done. There's others in Cork and in Kilkenny and in parts of Dublin, because we see Rathfarnham being flooded this week. This mitigation scheme has already happened throughout the River Dodder. It could have been a heck of a lot worse.
What has gone wrong in the River Dodder? Because huge amounts of money were spent all the way down through Balls Bridge, right the way out to the sea. Huge amounts of money. Obviously not working well enough. So what's happening? Are culverts blocked? Because all of us can see it in our local areas where there's a pooling of water, which, you know, from a shore that has not been cleared. And that's the problem in microcosm. If you look at it in a macro way, there are obviously streams where there's maybe rubbish being dumped. The flow of the water is not quick enough to take the stuff away. So where does it go? It goes and floods in the neighbourhood.
So there's three things I'd say to this, and I'll say them quickly, because the first in relation to the Dodder, it's not finished. The flood mitigation schemes is done in aspects of the Dodder, but there's parts closer up to Rathfarnham where it's still in process, you know, 3 years into the process.
But down at where it flows through, I mean, if it's flowing out quickly enough, it can't back up in Rathfarnham. So what's gone wrong there? Well, there must be a pinch point.
Well, there's two aspects. The vast majority of culverts were cleared, certainly in the Dunleary-Athen area, but there was literally two culverts that weren't cleared that led to lying water throughout Enniscorthy Road, which backed up traffic for hours. The other thing is, and it must be said, in the month of January, 197 millimetres of rain fell. The monthly average is 80. The vast majority of that came down in one evening as well. So you just have a sheer volume of water. I think that has to be recognised and acknowledged, and it was falling already on sodden ground.
Sinead?
Yeah, I think the main thing that people will look at is how do we have so much money and we still have these infrastructure problems and a disparate system that doesn't seem to talk effectively to each other, to the point that this has now become a political argument about, well, who should have warned who and how. So Met Aaron saying, yeah, we could have better flood warnings, but we did tell who we needed to tell what we did know.
And what they've said is there is a programme of flood warning being built. It'll take 20 years to build and we're halfway through. Another 10 years before it's complete.
This was going to be my point, Pat, this idea that how are we so far behind and do we have any faith that this will be done well on budget and on time, even how late we are right now?
Like, the first thing I would say, Pat, is that we should have a better system for warning people in terms of flooding. I mean, you go to early other countries and there are systems in place. For example, in the UK, I know they've had rolled out through the Cabinet Office over there, whereby they have an early warning system for extreme weather. You get an alert on your phone.
We have Map Alert here and we've talked about it during the week.
But we need to have a better system. It shouldn't take us another 10 years to get that flood warning system in place. I mean, flooding is something we've been dealing with since for as long as I can remember. There's a central bank report from 2024 which sets out the cost of future flooding. We know climate change is an issue. We also need to have a standing response system, because every time there is severe flooding, government have to get cabinet approval for a new scheme in order to reimburse people, and we think that should be put on a legislative.
Okay, I'll read you some of the text. My family lived in Grange Park in Rathfarnham from 1965 to 1968. At least on one occasion, the whole road and most of the houses were flooded, just like this week. Luckily, we were renting and got out of there with lightning speed. That was 58 years ago. This is a 100% knowable risk. That's from Margaret. Neil?
Yeah, and it flooded again in that part of Rathfarnham about 20 years ago when I lived there. And I will point to the schemes that have been worked since 2018 are working. You look at the level of flooding in Cork is less than it was. There's certain parts in Cork that are devastated 2 years ago, but other places right beside them that had the flood mitigation schemes were actually saved. And I think Middleton in particular, when I was in Department of Enterprise and they're able to get the resources, and we've calculated that the flood schemes so far have saved about 2 billion euros worth of damage in about 13,000 homes. But we're a third of the way through and we have to finish those other 100 who are all out of a range of parts of the process. There's literally workmen on the ground in Rathfarnham.
Yeah, but when it takes so long and we are rowing back on some of our climate change measures and we know climate change is going to bring more rainfall and shift the patterns of rainfall, we have to make sure that we're keeping up with that. So what we're doing isn't already aged out of usefulness by the time it's finished.
Now, back to scramblers. What about the parents of those out of control so-called children? Surely forcing them to take responsibility and liability for their out of control offspring should be followed up vigorously. Also, government have known this since quad bikes and scramblers came on the market. So why didn't their accountable civil servants advise them to legislate at that time? It's another political failure. That is, and we're seeing the problem with e-scooters at the moment, Neil. Mm. That they are sometimes out of control on footpaths, pavements, going the wrong way, not lit up, invisible, and a danger to all sorts of people, including themselves. And the government is, watching that develop. And in a few years' time on a programme like this, someone will be saying, why didn't they do something about e-scooters?
And 5 years ago, I was on the other end of an intense lobby saying, this is the future of active travel. Look at Paris, look at Rome. They have public e-scooter schemes and now they're starting to pull them back because they're scattered all over the footpaths and there's been very serious instances. Ultimately, we're putting them under the framework under the Road Traffic Act. I've always been a bit of an e-scooter skeptic. Yes, they can be very good, but only if they're used for the right purposes in terms of active travel. But ultimately, they are lawless at the moment in terms of people going up on footpaths, no lights, no helmets.
Yeah, again, it goes back to just joined up thinking. If the infrastructure in cities isn't there and the behaviour of everybody on the roads. So like some of this, when we talk about like the behaviour on off-road things on public roads, the behaviour of our drivers isn't much better a lot of the time. Like walking through Dublin City with a buggy is actually you need to have all your wits about you. Incredibly dangerous. The buggy doesn't actually shield you as much as it previously did because people don't notice.
But anyway, you're using your child as armour. Connor?
Well, I suppose e-scooters are something that, I actually agree with Neil. It's something I'd be quite sceptical of myself, because we've seen them like in my own city of Limerick, they are often used for insidious purposes. Mm. And there seems to be a total sense of lawlessness up, down, off the footpath, out in front of roundabouts. They need to come under the framework of the Road Traffic Act. And in my view, it should have happened before now.
And all of them should be identifiable, in my view.
And again, it goes back to enforcement. If people feel like none of these rules are going to be enforced, or, you know, then it's absolutely pointless.
Well, look, guys, I have to leave it there because we've one more fish to fry on this programme. But my thanks to Neil Richmond, TD, Minister of State for International Development and the Diaspora, Fine Gael, Dublin Rathdown TD, Conor Sheehan TD, spokesperson on Housing, Local Government and Heritage for the Labour Party in Limerick City, and Sinead O'Carroll, editor of The Journal.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.